Alec preached about the sinful woman who goes and kisses Jesus' feet and anoints his feet. And everybody else is shocked that Jesus would let a sinful woman like that touch him. You see, my sermon follows on from Alex's. It's kind of about another woman. Amen. Do you know that there's great hoo-ha now, isn't it? What's a man and what is a woman? There's a documentary that says, "What is a woman?" It's on YouTube. Go and watch it. Everybody's confused. Do you know that God made man and woman separately and differently? When God made man, he slapped them together. Well, you're done. When God made woman, he intricately engineered her. Now, most of you guys out there know that your wives know everything before you've even arrived. You're still back in the dim dance, and your wife's already there. She knows. God made woman differently. You're going to see in this passage the amazing love of God in a woman who was kind of despised. Let me read it to you. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 to 3. I'll read it to you again. I know Ray's read it, but just in case, it says, "Soon afterward, Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means." Luke's telling us that Jesus' job is to proclaim the gospel. And he will not stop until he goes through the whole of Israel. Towns, villages, cities, wilderness. And it says the 12 went with him. Of course they did. The men went with him. But then it says, woman followed him. Woman whom Jesus had healed. Woman whom Jesus had made whole. They followed Jesus. Why? Alex said last week in his sermon, she who is forgiven much, what? What? Yes, louder. Loves much. Well, basically, we're getting a run-on with this. Mary Magdalene, she who has been forgiven much, loveth much. Mary Magdalene had 7 demons cast out. And now 7 is a complete number in Scripture. If that's in you, if something is 7, that means you've got it to its fullest extent. She's been a tormented woman. And because of the torment, she was literally cast out from society. Carlo read Matthew 5. And the very first beatitude is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." I think I've told you this before. Poor in spirit means you're destitute. You're bankrupt. You're bankrupt. You're spiritually bankrupt. But Jesus says, "Blessed are the spiritually bankrupt, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And Māori is rawakore. Rawakore is like you're poorer than poor. There's poor people and there's destitute people. Well, this is what Mary Magdalene is. God is love. And Jesus is God. Jesus reveals the love of God everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes. He preaches good news to the poor, and then he proves that what he preaches is true by healing, by making people whole. Jesus has come to begin building the kingdom of God. He is the cornerstone of the building, upon which the whole of the kingdom will be built. But the kingdom is only for the poor in spirit. The disciples followed Jesus. For 3 years, they struggled. The longer it went, the worse it got. Guys, we're crazy. And you know why that was? Because they didn't believe they were poor in spirit. They trusted in their lineage. I'm a Jew. I descend from Jacob. They're not poor in spirit. Well, they're the chosen of God. And that's the very reason why for 3 years they never got it. But you know who got it? Who got it? The woman. The woman got it. You know why? Because women were just used and abused. A husband could go to his wife, write her a note and say, I don't want you. Go away. I've got another wife here, so off you go. It was almost like, if you want no rights, be a woman. You see, the woman got it. And you know why they got it? Because their lives were transformed by the love of Jesus. Nobody had ever loved them like Jesus. Nobody had ever accepted them like Jesus. To prove that Jesus was not just speaking empty words, he would powerfully heal the sick. He would open the eyes of the blind. He would make the lame to walk. He would cleanse the leper. He would drive out evil spirits. And then he would set them all at liberty. Freedom. But the main thing he would tell them, that they had the forgiveness of sins. Yeah. Amen, bro. The burden had been lifted from them by Jesus. No longer to carry the weight of sin. Who can forgive sins except God? That's what they would say. But Jesus is God. And God is love. Jesus is ushering a new kingdom. God's kingdom. The old must pass away because the new has come. Jesus has come. And he's the fullness of the kingdom. All of the whakapapa in the Old Testament means nothing now. The week before, Lenny preached on John the Baptist. And he said this, he who is least then the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Now, John the Baptist, Jesus says, was no man born of woman is greater than John the Baptist. But then Jesus says this. He who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. I can't figure that out. Well, actually, we can. John the Baptist must come into the kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. Not because he was born of the lineage of Jacob. Paul, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, counts for nothing. Must come into the kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, the Pharisee, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus says, do I have to go back into my mother's womb? Jesus is ushering in the kingdom of God. Entry into the kingdom is by being born again from God. Entry is through Jesus Christ alone. John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Here in Luke, we have mention of Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. Now, we don't hear again from Mary Magdalene until we get to the cross. But from Luke chapter 8, we can kind of get the understanding that there's something special about Mary. She loves Jesus with all of her heart, with all of her soul, with all of her mind, and with all of her strength. She's left everything. She doesn't care about her life anymore. She has found her Savior. Her Savior will never let her down. Mary Magdalene is mentioned 12 times in the 4 Gospels. Some of the disciples aren't even mentioned that much. Just as the sinful woman in Luke 7 just poured her love out upon Jesus, so now we have another woman, Mary Magdalene, pouring her love upon her Lord. And not just her Lord, but the disciples. She works every day for them. Every day. Where they go, she goes. Where they stop, she stops. How do you get a love like that, church? How do you get a love like that, huh? Isn't this what the gospel is all about? It's not a love that's up here. It's not even a love that sort of gets down here. It's a love that gets in here, in your gut. Mary follows and serves Jesus and the disciples for 3 years. And the next time we read about her, we have to go to the end of one of the Gospels, and we'll go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 50 to 61. Jesus is on the cross. I'll read it to you. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks were split. The tombs also were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs, after his resurrection, and they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Who is it? Mary Magdalene. At the cross where Jesus died. Jesus died at 12 o'clock. She'd been there before 12 o'clock. She was waiting. At 12 o'clock, Jesus dies. Darkness over the land for 3 hours. The disciples hide. Just run. Run back to the upper room. Where's Mary? At the cross. In the darkness. 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock. 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock. 7 o'clock. Probably there for over 8 hours. The disciples... Jesus is on the cross. What's happened to our Lord? Mary, my Lord. Where else is she going to go? That's her Lord. And even her Lord dying on the cross doesn't stop her. How do you get that? How do you get that, church? Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. All the women at the cross. On the other one, it tells, one of the Gospels tells us that John was there also. And he's called what? The disciple who loved Jesus. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate ordered it be given to him. And Joseph took the body down from the cross, wrapped it in clean linen, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Verse 61. Who's at the tomb? Who's at the tomb? You can say the name, it's okay. Who's at the tomb? Mary Magdalene. 3 years ministry, 8 hours before the cross. She sees Joseph, and Nicodemus came too, and they take them down. And so, what's she going to do? What's she going to follow where her Lord goes? She goes to the tomb. She watches them put Jesus in the tomb, and she sees the stone rolled over the cover. Mary Magdalene's life was wrapped around her Savior. He was her reason for living. Wherever he was, she was. At the cross, feeling the earthquakes, seeing the darkness, he wasn't leaving her Savior alone. Joseph and Nicodemus come and take the body down. She's still there. She follows them to the tomb. It's now nighttime. And it's the Sabbath. Nothing you can do on the Sabbath night. You just go home. You just wait the Sabbath out. Friday night. All day Saturday. Saturday night. Sunday morning. I'm going to read to you now from John chapter 20, 1 to 18. John 20, 1 to 18. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early. I don't think she slept, you know. I don't think she slept. She's waiting for the dawn. End of the Sabbath. While it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. He believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. Verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white. How come those other fellas didn't see them? God reserves things sometimes, doesn't he? He reserves things sometimes for those he loves. And he had reserved those angels for Mary Magdalene. She saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain. One at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." How much? How do you have love like that? How do you have love like that? God is love. Jesus is God. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me. For I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and," what does it say? Not Mary Magdalene. "My Father and your Father." These fellows had just run away. The disciples couldn't handle it. Who's left to handle it? Mary Magdalene. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the rawakore. Blessed are the pure in heart. For they shall see God. Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. It tells us in Luke 24, that when she went to the upper room, they didn't believe her. They just pushed her off. Just idle talk. But it wasn't just Mary, it was the other woman. They just... You see, Mary understands the love of God in Jesus Christ. Do you? Do you? Whoever is forgiven much, what? Loves much. You know, in Reformed theology, we talk about total depravity. It's not a very common term. But we talk about total depravity, which means there's nothing good about any of us. It's hard for us to believe that because we live in a merit-rewarding society. Jesus didn't die for those who think they can get to heaven by their good works. He didn't die for the theologically correct up here. Sometimes it's up here and it never gets to there. We get stuck on it. Mary will not cower, hiding in a room like the disciples. Indeed, many of the women who followed Jesus refused to cower. They loved their master too much. Last week, Alex said something and it caught my attention. And what he said was true. Alex said, "We are dust." You believe that? We are dust. My wife heard it. We went home and she said, "You know, Alex said we're dust." I said, "Yes." She said, "You know what? No, we're a vapor." We're dust. We're a vapor. We're nothing. Why does he care for dust and vapor so much? God is love. Jesus is God. Whoever is forgiven much loveth much. If you understand that you're totally depraved, that there's nothing good in you, you're on the right track. I've met a lot of people who have come to Jesus because somebody told them, "Oh, give your life to Jesus. Everything is going to be great. Just give your life to you." And so, you know, what do they do? "Oh, yeah, that's kind of really good advice. I think I'll do that. I think, yeah, maybe I'll give my life to Jesus and he'll give me everything I want." Yes, that's a false conversion. It's when you understand your sin. It's when you understand that there's nothing about you that is acceptable to God. You know, the woman, God had reserved a special place for these women. A special place in God's heart. They lived as Spirit-filled followers of Christ even before the Holy Spirit was given. And that's because they understood the gospel of grace to the poor in spirit. Their poverty of spirit meant that God could fill their hearts with himself. Mary was given the special honor of being the first to see the Lord, the risen Lord Jesus. She was the first evangelist that says he is risen. The love that Mary Magdalene revealed is a love that can only come from God, who is love. God is love, and Jesus is God. I just have one more reading. Philippians, chapter 3, verse 12. I don't know if I'll put it down for the screen, but it says this. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul knows he's got a way to go yet. I think you and I all know we've got a way to go yet. We've all got a way to go. But you must not give up. It's getting tough for Christians now. The world is just going crazy. And it's getting tough. Probably what I told you about a man and a woman, I'll probably get put in jail soon. I can't tell you those things that a man is different to a woman. Everything is upside down. But Paul writes this in Philippians. chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this. You see, I think he wants to love Jesus just like Mary Magdalene did. I think he wants a love that just surpasses all loves. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. I press on. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We love to see love such as Mary Magdalene, love such as that sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet, and it reminds us of the love that you have for us, sinners, broken, damaged goods. That your love, you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. But rather, you call us, like Paul. Come on. Keep going. Keep going. For the greatest reward that could ever be is to see you face to face. Father, bless our churches. Bless our three in one here, Lord. We pray you would make us a church that is full of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that you would be glorified and that we'd have so much joy. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.